Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, reform you.
Welcome to Night of the Living Podcast. This is my favorite thing when a listener picks the main attraction. So Brannon, who we love deeply, has chosen Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein because he said he thought the bit of trivia that this is the only time the person who is most famous for playing Dracula played that character again besides in his original performance in Dracula. And I thought that was an interesting reasoning to be like, that makes it a very significant movie in the history of horror films.
I didn't realize
Agreed.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, it's a great movie. So
it is.
So we'll get into that for the main attraction. I'm Freddie, birthday girl Amy. I should have saved her for last.
No, I'm first, baby.
Andy's here.
God, it's what a come down from the birthday girl.
I know. Yeah. That's the problem is now we all have to follow the birthday girl. Kelly's here.
Yeah,
happy birthday.
Me and Kelly are a bunch of chodes now.
I won't follow. I'll just bow down.
Well, and Freddie's birthday was 2 days ago. So happy belated to Freddie. Yeah.
Thank yes. you. I had my birthday 2 days ago, but I had the diarrhea this morning.
I'll gladly have my birthday today. I'll gladly give you diarrhea on Sunday for my birthday today.
Well, I'm glad your birthday was not poop filled.
See what happens when you get a day it where wasn't. You do whatever you want.
But
you get another day 2 days after that day yeah. where you pay for it.
To remember.
Yeah.
But Amy has to suffer through your poop filled.
It's true.
Through her poop filled birthday.
I felt so guilty this morning when I was spraying out hot water.
It wasn't on me or anything. Yeah. It was in the toilet.
Yeah. But still,
that you, little do you know.
I was like, I'm going to do so many nice things for Amy today. And now I feel like I'm like, I got flies on me and I'm shivering.
Why are there flies on you?
I'm dying.
Because he's covered in his own dried feces filth.
My own crapulence.
It's not like you shat on her birthday cake or her birthday present.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Down. Well, there's still time.
Yeah.
It's my birthday all day.
Is that the present?
The present is I will clear this for you. And then I'll wipe it down, and then I'll leave.
Happy birthday to you,
Mr. President.
Well, you're making it special, no matter what.
Memorable.
Said. It'll be memorable.
I'll never forget my quarantine birthday. Remember how smug we were last year? Because we were like, we got our birthdays in.
Yeah, we got our birthdays
before
in.
Before lockdowns and pandemic.
Oh, and back before we knew how serious it was.
Yeah.
We were just so carefree in Walt Disney World. Yeah. Speaking of Walt Disney World origins, again, how history just seems to line up. The important things, like going to Disney World, seem to sync up. We were in Disney World right prior to recording the last Origins, which was about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
My gosh.
So much fun.
Origins is available to all of our Patreon subscriber people things.
Yep.
Go to patreon.com/notlp.
And Brannon, who picked Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, is also a patron. He's one of our better top tier quality
He's just better
people.
Than you.
He's a quality person.
He's a quality person.
You know, one of our better people.
Hey, we live in a capitalist society. This is how we do it.
If you want to get a chance, though, you don't have to donate a penny to the show. All you've got to do is go to our website, notlp.com. Scroll down until you see Dracula, how appropriate, on the stamp.
Who appears in the movie this week.
That's right. Gosh. And that is...
He makes a cameo.
The Whoa. Dracula. You can sign up for the mailing list there, and then we will randomly select one of our subscribers to choose the main attraction for one of the themes that we are doing each month. Mm-hmm.
And this month was staff picks, which was all of us just picking whatever the fuck we wanted.
Yeah, we kicked off with Kelly. It was since he had the earliest birthday. And so we've discussed how my memory is failing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to remember.
Okay. You don't remember his movie?
Well, Freddie, can I tell you something? In just in this moment, I also don't remember.
I don't remember it either.
It's Rock and Roll.
Like a dream now.
Yes. Oh my God. Am I the only one that remembers?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, now I remember because you told me.
Was it all a dream?
It was all a dream. I'm getting old, man. Things are slipping bad.
Are you guys real?
No.
But Rock and Roll, I love that movie. It's not that I didn't like it. It's just every day is full of the end of the world stuff and the other stuff. And then we had Andy's pick, and who could forget?
Don't say
Strange
anything
Days.
About it. There we go.
Strange Days.
Who could forget that?
About it. I've been thinking about it since watching it.
Yeah, I remembered Andy's pick there.
Yeah. What did you pick, Freddie?
I picked Inside Number 9, selected episodes of the series. Amy picked Showgirls.
None of you guys are going to forget Showgirls. There were titties in it. Yeah. And now we're doing Abbott and Costello hang out with the Wolfman and run around.
Was there ever...
Everybody's always hanging out with the Wolfman. Lon Chaney Jr. Played the same character from this movie, basically, in that episode of Route 66.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Yeah, even though he was playing himself, he acted like Larry Talbot.
Yeah.
Kind of a goofball.
Yeah. Hey, guys. I'm going to turn into a wolf. You got to help me. Oh, God. Please help me. No one will help me. Won't you please help me?
He was so sad.
Before I kill you. He was.
Yeah.
I kind of love him. I
love Lon Chaney Jr.
I like Spider Baby. Lon Chaney Jr. is my favorite of everything, performance-wise.
Lon Chaney Jr.?
Yeah, he's just a super cuddle bug. I want to snuggle his neck.
That's a weird thing to say.
Speaking of, have they done a porn parody of Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, and they just changed the spelling of meat? They do that? Anybody do that?
What would the spelling be, Freddie? I don't understand.
I can only hope.
Oh, okay.
I don't understand the joke.
Uh-huh. They spit roast him.
They spell Abbott, A-B-U-T-T.
A-butt.
We'll probably return to...
And Costello, I don't know.
To our Abbott...
Costello.
Costello.
Options.
Yeah.
You can take.
Costello.
Costello.
Yeah. I'm proud of you guys for not using any hate speech in the construction of our porn parody title. That's the sound
well
of me clapping.
Done, I guess.
Because, that's where the brain wants to go.
That's a very low bar you have for us, Freddie.
Well, I thought for sure, Andy, that you were going to say, F word in Costello. Oh. And I just wanted to point out when we do the right thing instead of always apologizing.
Well, you didn't have to point out the wrong thing.
Well, this is progress. This is progress. It didn't even occur to you, then we've fixed ourselves.
We're perfect.
We're done. We're fixed.
That's why you, Freddie. It's the man in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh. Yeah, Andy.
Gotta make a change.
I'm a little programmed thanks to my friend over there, Grudge Judy.
Because that's the only word I ever say.
So, what were you talking about? Oh, yeah. Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein porn parody. Yeah. So, that never happened that we know of.
That we know of.
Get on it.
Yeah. TM, it's ours now.
So,
except there is somewhere, like, the outtakes from this movie where they were just them, like, filming their after shoot sex parties.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, I've got two girls. And
So how has everybody's week been?
Confusing. I've been trying to make heads and tails of Wall Street.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That has been a fun little ride because it had nothing to do with me, I don't think, although I don't know what my 401k is involved in any way.
Or at least I try to steer that stuff towards like ethical mutual funds and stuff, and I don't think that they include hedge fund stuff.
I don't even know how to log in to see my 401k, so like whatever.
Yeah. But I'll have to take another look.
I mean, I don't understand it, but I do appreciate memes and funny stuff. So anytime something is trending on Twitter, I'm like, oh God, what happened now?
Did you see I sent you guys yesterday a screenshot of what was trending on Twitter?
Oh, jizz. What jizz?
I found out later it's a Dutch soccer player. I'm sorry, footy player. That's his first name.
His name is Jizz. And I'm like, Amy, how is this different than any other day?
It's very different.
Why isn't Jizz twinning on trend? Yeah. Twinding. Why don't they call it twinding when it's on Twitter?
Twinding?
It's a twinning. A twinning topic.
2020. Twinning on Twitter in 2020.
2020. I was afraid that Jizz got canceled. I'm like, oh no.
Oh, yeah. The cancel culture comes from
you gotta seal up now. Your urethra can only be used for peeing now. It's the law.
Is Jizz gonna make an apology? Like, I'm sorry if anybody was offended.
Well, it's gonna start with, hey guys.
Hey guys, I realize my name is Jizz. This is brought to my attention.
I need silliness pumped into my eyeballs all day.
You need jizz pumped into your eyeballs.
And to see jizz trending was silliness.
Yeah.
You lived to see jizz trending.
I lived. Mm-hmm. I can say one day if somebody could let me borrow their grandchildren, because I'm not gonna have any. And I'll be like, dear other person's grandchildren, I was there.
Amy, please don't do that. Don't take somebody's grandchildren and talk to them about jizz.
No, they're going to be old enough to have the discussion and be like, we just read, we were in history class today.
They'll be like, can you believe that jizz was such an uncommon name back then? President Jizz Jenkinson changed all that. Everybody was naming their baby jizz after that.
President JJ. Jizz from Johnson. His last name is from Johnson.
It's from Johnson.
This is stupid. Oh, I love it. See,
it's
this
for
is
your
the
birthday.
Kind of,
I'm trying harder today.
I appreciate that. I don't have like Freddie and I watched Underwater last night.
Oh, yeah, I have to get to that immediately.
Kelly,
it was fabulous.
Watch that
shit at the beginning, and I'm like, oh, we're watching it. And I'm like, do I have it? Do I have the emotional bandwidth to handle watching people die in a silly, dumb horror movie? I did, but for a moment there, I'm like, do I even have that in me anymore?
But it's monsters, right? So mm-hmm. I can take people dying by monsters anytime. Right.
Yeah, it's funny. I just revisited Deep Star 6. Do you remember that movie?
It out with Leviathan.
Yeah, and Leviathan was around the same time. Yeah, and they were very similar movies, and so was The Abyss came out around then, and everybody was like, forget those two, now this. Yeah. But Deep Star 6 is kind of a maligned movie for the most part, and I rewatched it. It's a lot of fun. Like, and I feel like Underwater is like that movie done the way it really should have been done had they had the resources. It's just a really solid...
I mean, I'm sure everybody listening has already seen Underwater. I was late to that game, but
I haven't seen it.
Well, except for you, Kelly. But like the
I haven't seen it.
The monsters in it are so fucking well done. Like, I highly recommend it.
Well, that's important to me.
Yeah.
That is of utmost importance to me. It's of number one importance to me in a monster movie.
Speaking of monsters, Kelly, what do you think about the Godzilla versus King Kong trailer?
I'm super into it. It's a teaser, so the jumble of info, it felt like they're like, we need to get a trailer out now. So just whatever
I know it's like it says a teaser, but I can already tell that there's more monsters in it. And
oh, yes. I'm very excited. I'm super excited.
Like the idea of, like, they said in the trailer or the teaser, they said, like, there was a war, and these are the last two standing. I want to see a bunch of monsters battle each other, not just a few at a time.
Oh, my God.
I want to see, like, a Lord of the Rings type battle, but with giant monsters.
Have you guys seen Big Man Japan?
Not yet.
Oh, wow. Just, like, fucking amazing movie that came out, like, 13 years ago or something, and somehow I never heard of it. Had you heard of it before?
I had heard the title, but I don't remember anything that I heard other than, like, the title is familiar to me.
Okay, the concept is, it's very much like Spinal Tap, where they're making a documentary. It's the mockumentary style and the Christopher Guest type of thing. What it feels like in the beginning. And they're just following this guy around who you think is just a celebrity, and they call him Big Man Japan. He's like, and he's always making these references to, like, I like umbrella. I carry this little umbrella with me because it only gets big when it needs to be big, and I respect that. And they just keep following him around. And then one day he gets called into work, and it turns out his job is they electrocute him, and he turns into a giant and fights kaiju. And then there aren't a lot of monsters. And then he has sponsors tattooed to his body. That's how he lives. He has sponsorships. They film the fights. And then he gets paid for the sponsorships that are tattooed on his body. He's like, he just wears briefs, like these silky purple panties. And he fights the monster design in this movie is like nothing I've ever seen. It's so strange and fun. And
Are the effects good?
Yeah, I mean, they for the time they're good. There's like an uncanny valley kind of thing going on in it, but it's so the design work is so good it doesn't matter when the effects fail, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And then in the very end of the movie, there is something they do that is so much like a love letter to the old Godzilla movies and those old TV shows like Ultraman. That, like, I think this is like a must see if you were at all into any of that stuff, or if you just like really good comedy, because it's one of the better comedies I've seen in a while. A lot of laugh out loud funny moments, and a lot of really those moments that are so strange they make you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes even harder.
Is this what you were watching when you were keeping me from taking a restful nap
yesterday? Oh, there were two movies. Amy took a nap yesterday, so I was unattended. So, I watched a movie called 1990, The Bronx, which is a post-apocalyptic movie, kind of like The Warriors, only better, in my opinion. It is one of the most entertaining movies I've ever seen. So, I laughed so hard during that, I pissed twice. Just a little bit, but I pissed my pants twice.
In the movie's defense, like, you're losing control of your bowels anyway, so I don't know if it's because of the movie.
Oh, so you think maybe I'm just going to start also wetting myself.
I feel like you pissed yourself during something else recently, and, like, all of a sudden now you're pissing yourself. And when he says he pisses himself, like, a little bit comes out.
Just a little squirt.
Full on pissing.
But,
not to take anything away from the movie, but we're getting old and losing control of things.
If I laugh too hard, I for sure.
I laughed so hard that I didn't. I just sit and I let myself piss all over myself. All of it. Everything in me.
No, you didn't.
You give yourself permission, right?
So these are two movies that I can't believe I've never seen.
It was the movie's fault.
So 1990 The Bronx is like an Italian post-apocalyptic adventure movie set in the Bronx, New York, where the Bronx is the most dangerous place in the world, essentially. And this woman escapes from Manhattan, which is the utopia, I guess, where all the rich people live, into the Bronx. And she ends up wrapped up with the Riders, which are this motorcycle gang that fight other gangs, kind of like the ones in The Warriors, only even more fucking blown out and absurd than that. I don't know. Again, one of those movies, I'm just like, it was made in in 82, where the 1990 was the future, as Andy loves the future of the past theme. It made me think that we should do a series of podcasts just about this movie and its sequels, because they made sequels for it. It is so much fun. And then I was like, okay, I think I'm having a lot of fun. Amy's still asleep. So then I kicked on Big Man Japan after that. And then the hilarity ensues. I'm like, how are these two movies I randomly selected to watch, two of the funniest things I've seen, and I've been scraping around
just
for
what
new
I
comedy.
Was trying to take a nap in my tiny little house, and he's scream laughing and pissing himself in the bath in the living room.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck? And he's got the goddamn TV up as loud as it can be, too.
Because I'm deaf. I should have just worn headphones, and you would have just heard laughter.
I can ignore your...
Would you have nightmares then?
I can more easily ignore your joy and your happiness than TV noises.
What if I had, like, music box music play, and then you would hear my laughter? Bling, 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 bling.
And she thinks she's gone mad.
I already know he's gone mad.
And she hears a little footsteps like.
Oh man! Anyways, Vic Morrow was in 1990 The Bronx.
Who was Vic Morrow?
The guy who died in the Twilight Zone filming for the movie. He was a big movie star too. I mean, I'm just saying that's probably what you know his name from.
I was like, I know that name, but I couldn't. Yeah.
Does he have a brother named Tom?
Tom Morrow.
Paging Mr. Morrow. Mr. Tom Morrow.
That's good.
I would give...
That's from the People Mover at Walt Disney World.
I would give all of my toes to be on the People Mover right now.
All of them? Kelly?
Yeah, I don't need my fucking toes. You want some toes, Kelly?
Oh, you want to trade me?
Yeah.
I'll give you my whole weird... Ass foot.
Yeah, send some toes.
I'll give you my weird praying mantis toes, and I'll take your normal lady toes.
Yes, normal.
Like... I would give a piece of my body right now to end the pandemic. Like, I would. Like, take my whole ass foot. I don't care.
She has an ass foot, too.
You could have my camel toes.
You can have my camel bucks. You can get a nice jacket.
My Marlboro Miles.
My Marlboro Miles. You can get another nice jacket. You can have both jackets.
And a hat. Don't forget. Oh,
if I see you walking around in a camel jacket, I know what type of person you are right away.
A smoker, Andy.
Well, it's not a current thing you can buy, so this person is into like...
Oh, can you still retro. Go to a foreign currency exchange with camel bucks and have them converted to dollars? Is the nation of Camelstan gone? Has it been disbanded?
Joe Camelstan?
In its parent states? Or
my mom used to smoke Virginia Slims.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure they had their own thing, too. You've come a long way, baby. Now get that lung cancer. I think they had a...
You could buy stuff from the Virginia Slams.
Yes.
Catalog.
Heck yeah.
It was all Pogs, Pog-related stuff. Yeah. Slammers and Pogs.
Jammers.
They were really short-sighted. Jammers. They're like, you know what kids love? Pogs. We can get them
forever.
Hooked on Virginia Slams. If kids don't, I'll tell you, a Slim Jim and a Virginia Slim are the two slimmest, most delicious things you can have after school.
Well, it's like Virginia Slim and Slim Jim, the corporate characters. They remember they had that big wedding, like that. It was like that big series of commercials, and you could vote.
Do you remember Slim Virginia?
Yeah,
and they're like, how do you stay so slim, Virginia? She's like, emphysema.
That's just sad. Yeah. I just see that pitch meeting.
Slim Virginia. Oh my God. Remember they did that? They covered that train song for when they had the radio spots.
Yeah,
they're like Slim Virginia.
Oh, train bought out by Big Tobacco.
Yeah,
what sellout song?
All their songs are now being modified to promote tobacco use, smokeless and otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you guys. Uh-huh.
Drops of camel bucks in her hair.
We're losing a lot of titans of the acting industry lately. Or celebrity culture. Yeah, like Larry King, whatevs. But I mean, like he was like a guy.
He was a very important talk show host.
Cicely Tyson.
I just did not understand what you meant.
Cloris Leachman?
Yeah.
Like, it's been crazy lately, guys.
Yeah, people die.
I know, but they just seem to be doing a lot of it.
These old people, though.
But they were real old, though, so I'm glad they lived a long, healthy life.
Exactly.
It doesn't have the weight of tragedy that some of the recent celebrity deaths have had. Absolutely. It feels like they've lived, like, amazing lives.
Well, I was looking at trivia earlier.
Long lives.
for Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, and Lou Costello died. He was 52.
Yeah.
So early. I'm 41 now. That's 11 years from now.
Yeah, but, you know, also you got to consider, like, the lifestyle.
Well, sure.
Yeah, he his lifestyle probably, that was like a Chris Farley-style lifestyle at that time, I'm sure.
So, well, and also just the lifestyle of an entertainer in general, when we hear about performers dying young,
yeah,
they don't have, they live their lives most of the time without any health care because they have to get into a union to get health insurance.
True. Mm-hmm.
They run in crowds where heavy drug use is common. They work weird hours. They don't sleep enough. They don't know where their next meal is coming from sometimes. Even the ones who act and get jobs all the time sometimes have to struggle. Like, it's not a healthy, if I had children, I understand why parents are always so aghast when they have a child come to them and say, I want to work in entertainment, and it's not in the technical side where I'm working every day.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, whenever I hear about a young celebrity passing away, I'm always like, okay, were they an actor or a performer? Like, and how heavy duty was that sacrifice they made to, and that's something where I do have a lot of respect for people who leave home and go to California and try to break into show business and all that. Because if you do it that way and you do that suffering and everything, and just to chase something as silly as doing make-believe for a living, there's like, I'm like, I guess props to you. Is what I'm trying to say. I think California. That's
ballsy.
Yeah.
California.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, well, can that be my ringtone, Amy?
Yeah,
I'll go full out for you.
California.
What was the name of that band again?
Phantom Planet.
Phantom Planet. That was a good name for a band.
Fa-pla. Sure.
Fa-pla. Fa-pla. Fa-pla.
Fa-pla.
That sounded like Klingon. Are we?
I did. Are you ready?
Are we ready?
Couldn't be readier.
Oh, you're ready. I said, are you ready?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, were you looking for an answer?
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
Судя по всему, на орбите произошел некий инцидент.
I'm just going to do a little translating for you. It's in Russian. I'm just coming up and saying it's in Russian.
Ваша консультация.
Зачем вы меня здесь? Можете объяснить?
They're talking about space stuff right now and flipping switches. Space guy. He's in a space suit doing space something or other. Oh, it's a lady!
Oh, see?
Oh my god, what are his nipples doing?
Oh, wow.
Blue and long.
Yeah.
Where are you rushing off to, guys?
Amy! So, there's something about a parasite. A lady hiding. X-rays, your typical space stuff.
Если герой, значит готов ко всему. В том числе и пожертвовать собой.
All right, so Kelly.
Yeah, boy.
Sputnik is clearly in Russian.
Sputnik is in Russian, and so I had to really dust off my Russian, like it's been so long.
Since you were since in Russia.
Since I've run, you know, a mission. Oops. I'm genuinely just kidding. And I say I've never run any. You know that.
You're not ex-KGB, are you?
No.
Yes.
I'm current.
Current KGB.
AOMB. All right.
He's in the UNITY, Queen Latifah's army.
That's right.
Secret army.
Sputnik. It's on Hulu. Yes. And it's in Russian. The end.
All right.
This was a really cool movie. I have been so lucky. I used to dread Russian roulette movies.
Oh, Russian roulette.
But now I don't mind because they're an opportunity. This is the only time I actually really watch new movies.
There's really some good stuff coming out. It's kind of crazy.
There's real good stuff. So Sputnik joins that pantheon of good things. And it is set in 1983 in the Soviet space program. And I'm not going to give
too
much
away. Can you tell
because
of the leg warmers?
I could. I could. And there were headbands aplenty. And
how do you solve this Rubik's Cube?
And Rubik's cubes. So in betwixt the Rubik's cubing in their leg warmers,
cubing the rubes,
these astronauts, these cosmonauts on their way back from out there, something is making noise on the outside of their capsule in the middle of space. So you can only imagine that that's not something.
Oh, that's creepy. You mean like a living thing sounds like it's making noises out there?
Well, it sounds like something's walking around on the outside of the capsule.
Ooh, E.T. Shane.
That's scary.
I'm not going to give away much about this because it is really good. I'm going to spoil one major thing.
And that is the ending.
I'm actually not. You know what? I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to tell you almost nothing about this. This is, you're getting cheated out of like an in-depth review.
Because the movie's too good.
That's a good review.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
I love
I'll tell you some things about it. It is tense. The acting is intense. It's very, very serious. The effects are excellent. The effect design is excellent. The only points I take off from this, the very end feels abrupt and sort of confusing, and Elise and I had to look it up to understand what happened.
All right.
And then we were both like, oh, I didn't pick up on that. Now maybe that's our fault.
I kind of like it when that happens, because then that means I want to go back usually and see it a second time.
You will, but this is like almost, it almost feels like it doesn't have much to do with the main movie.
So they didn't seed it very well.
You'll know what I mean. And maybe you won't even, maybe you'll just be like, no, Kelly, it's just you and your brain of Cogliostris mishandlings of business and data.
You know? Yeah. Well, I have two questions about
this.
Are you
mishandling your business and data? You know, we've talked about this.
I got a question. What is the difference between an astronaut and a cosmonaut?
One is Russian and one is not.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
That's how I understood it. Yeah. The Russians call them cosmonauts.
And it's funny because I watched the entire, what was it called? From Earth to the Moon, the Tom Hanks documentary series on HBO.
Yeah.
And that never 100% sunk in for me. I didn't know if cosmonauts,
if you
like,
hung out with Freddy for more than 10 minutes, dark. You understand that his attention span isn't great.
And the other question I have about this movie, besides the cosmonaut thing, I prefer cosmonaut, by the way. I think it's a cooler name. The other thing is Yakov Smirnoff in it?
Yeah. He plays the president of Russia.
That's where you get your crossover, you know, U.S. appeal.
Doesn't he, like, live full-time in Branson, Missouri?
He does. He teaches, he teaches there, I think.
Would you ever want to go to Branson?
Yeah.
What about you, Kelly?
Oh.
Just for shits and giggles.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's like such a delightfully weird place.
I wouldn't turn it down.
Yeah.
I also wouldn't say that it's anything I'm clamoring to do.
No, me either.
This show proposal they gave us where we all move to Branson and perform three nights a week. Yeah, you're not interested in that.
No. It depends on the money.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But yeah, this movie is super tight. The acting is real good. The story is good. It went in a place that I wasn't expecting at the outset. Although it's like you expect it and then you're like, nah, that's too, they're not going
to
do that.
And they went to space.
Yeah. I said I wasn't going to spoil this.
Yeah. Okay.
Damn you.
God damn it. Fine.
Now everybody in the beginning, I just go to space.
They're going to go to space. There's no way they're going to space.
Spoilers.
Is that the spoiler, Kelly? It turns out it takes place in space. And Even though it's called Sputnik.
I wasn't going to spoil anything. Other than the quality of the storytelling and the acting and the fact that the ending was a little muddled. But definitely well worth it. Really good movie.
Is it a like a present day?
No, it's 83.
83, never mind. I remember.
Yeah. Like same, the, here, you know what helped you remember that? It's the same year that 1990, The Bronx, I think, was released in the U.S.
Okay, good.
Is the year this movie takes place in, which was released this year. So that should be clear as mud now.
Shut up.
Go on.
Shut up, man. Do they address the Cold War hostilities, the space race? The dog they sent to space?
Oh, he's in Guardians of the Galaxy, though.
This is more about this situation. Here in this area.
Correct.
So this is the Gorbachev days, right?
I think Gorbachev was later. Or wait, what the fuck do I know? Who am I? I was 83.
83, I feel like he...
Well, who cares? A listener is screaming recently at their phone right now, like, it was, of course it was Gorbachev, you dumb-dumbs.
It was close, though. Wasn't the transition...
I'm not going to weigh in, because I don't know.
It was right in that time, I think, they transitioned power.
Freddie, I don't know. You have a Google right in front of you.
I'm using it to make podcasts.
Oh, God.
Right now, I'm crafting with it.
But it's definitely well worth... production is great. Looks nice and big. Mm-hmm. Feels big when it's inside you.
Mm. Oh, boy.
Stretches you in that pleasant way. So I recommend this. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
And I can't wait.
You know that means quality.
That's true.
I don't like things that aren't good.
No, he doesn't like anything except for Life cereal and Universal Monster movies.
That's right. Those are the only two things. And then this movie.
And then plus this now. Annalise.
What?
I do, yes. Yeah. I like her quite a bit.
Yeah. Brezhnev?
Yeah, Brezhnev was before, right before Gorbachev.
And then Andropov. Andropov succeeded Brezhnev. Fuck if I know.
Wait, Andropov was after, was right, what, was
I just
right
closed
before?
The window and I don't want to talk about it
anymore. Oh, God. Why
people did not come here for history.
You know what it is? I think we're the age.
It doesn't matter.
Where
shut up, Freddy.
This era.
With shut the, up, man. With the,
but with a Russian and American. So this was,
God.
We had to see this shit like every night on the news when we were kids.
But I was three.
TV shows and cartoons and movies. And
I didn't know shit about Andropov and Brezhnev.
No, I'm not saying you should know that. What I'm saying, I'm trying to just say that
it was a big part of your childhood.
It's the whole Russian nuclear arms race thing was the most important. It was like how we feel about the coronavirus now.
Yeah, but no, I get you.
But we were little, and like, but you still couldn't escape it. Like at least in our house, because it was everywhere.
Yeah, but you could go to the movie theater at Disney World without wearing a mask.
We never could go to do any of those things when we were kids. We didn't have any money.
You could.
I mean, we did get to go to the movie theater a little bit, but like this era is like a very weird time. Like I think it's cool that people are making movies set in this era because so much weird, like, you know, here when Reagan is elected, you got his wife listening to like astrologers and stuff and taking basically how to do things from them. And Reagan didn't even think like the nuclear weapons were like, he had to see a made for TV movie to even comprehend how fucking bad it could get.
Listeners, Freddie watched a documentary about Ronald Reagan recently.
It's just an interesting era. Like you think you're presented with something as a kid where you have this guy on TV every night assuring you you're not going to be vaporized with nuclear weapons.
Well, you weren't.
But that person, as when you learn later as an adult, didn't really have any fucking clue about what was going on.
This is why QAnon and all that stuff is bullshit, because at the end of the day, there's no deep state. There's no Illuminati. It's fun to think about. But at the end of the day, there's just people trying to get stuff. They're just regular dumb fucks.
They just want that money.
And I promise you, Hillary
pussy,
Clinton
pussy.
Is not eating babies. She's just trying to make money and have you know, and surf her own ambition. And that's fine. That's good. She's not eating babies.
Anyways, I guess long story short,
I don't know where I'm going with this.
I just presume that maybe as Kelly was teasing the ending of this movie, we were still talking about building like the Star Wars lasers and stuff out there. So it does relate to the topic. I'm not just a rambling idiot. Well, I'm also that.
I don't.
And a mother first.
All right, Kelly, you recommend Sputnik.
Highly recommend.
Okay. Andy, do you recommend just... Khrushchev or
who?
Andropov or Nechevev?
Their politics are so damn weird.
I don't get it.
Khrushchev and Kennedy?
Yeah. We didn't start the fire. Is that from that?
No, it's Killer Queen.
Oh, okay.
Yep. She kept her Moet and Chandon up her partner's bottom hatch.
Okay. I got the Jack in the Box out. We're going to pass it around and crank it we like to do. We're going to start with Andy. Let's see Andy crankety crankety crank.
Let's see Andy crank.
You didn't waste any time, did you?
Buck around.
Sure did.
I swear I do this as randomly as possible with three pieces of paper in my hand that I shuffle.
So random. Oh my gosh.
I accidentally turned the sound off early. Sorry.
It's okay.
I have fat fingers.
So this movie's also on Hulu. And I watched the trailer this morning because I wasn't sure if it was a horror movie or not, but I think it qualifies. It's called Spree.
Oh.
And it stars.
I love that candy.
Every time we had a candy sale at school, which is a long story to explain why we had to do that, I think it was to buy books. Anyways, Spree. Chewy Spree was like the shit, right? Mm-hmm. That's all.
Love them.
It was a big deal to get Spree. And girls would come in and be like, I got the last Spree. And then one would be like, you bitch. And they grab their hair and bang their head into the desk. And then she'd take it. They fought over that Spree so much.
Daily.
It must have been just in your grade, I guess. I never saw that.
You never saw Spree fight?
I remember Spree. No. We got Spree was a candy that was in demand.
Yeah. It was crazy in demand.
It was like Smarties on like steroids. It was like,
yeah,
you can either eat a whole bunch of chalky Smarties, which you will,
yeah,
but you don't want to have to, you can have this pack of Spree.
I feel like Andy and I are a couple years behind you guys, and our candy was the sour straws, silly straws.
Oh, those are pretty big, too.
Yeah.
I remember you buying those in school when they had the candy. This is how far back we all go.
Oh, my gosh.
And I remember Amy buying sour ropes.
Okay.
Grubby little kids.
So the movie's free. Yes, Andy?
I was going to say, did she eat it seductively in front of you, Freddie?
Yeah, she didn't know.
Oh, I got him.
Ropes and ropes.
Okay.
I'd throw them to her just for the thrill of saying I threw some rope at her.
Okay, the movie is called Spree. Seeking social media fame, rideshare driver Kurt comes up with the perfect way to go viral. Murdering his passengers via live stream. This movie has a pretty decent cast. It stars Joe Keery, we all know as What's-His-Face from Stranger Things, with the hair.
Oh, yeah. Steve, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's me right now.
So. Yeah. Andy, he's got very Steve hair.
He also does psychedelic, like neo-psychedelic music, if you didn't know. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
It also stars Sasheer Zamata, who was on...
Oh, my God. I love that so much.
David Arquette is in it.
I love him, too.
I also saw in the trailer Kyle Mooney from SNL. And, God, there was somebody else in the trailer, and I was like, holy shit, that's that guy. Don't remember, but I think it looks like it's a comedy.
Yeah.
Okay. I like this premise because it's not too far off than what people do now. People on TikTok, y'all need to calm down.
Calm your tits.
Wait, what's going on TikTok?
I don't know.
People are just doing things like pranking people and like stores for clout.
It's the fucking days of Caligula on there, buddy. don't need to explore that.
Is it going back to, you know, I'm on TikTok. I joined TikTok for two things. Well, I joined for one thing and ended up with two.
Oh, I don't know if you can say.
One is beaver.
What is this beaver? A particular beaver.
The actual animal.
That's adorable and builds dams like in the house. It's like a beaver that has been rehabbed. It makes my heart melt. I started to say it breaks my heart, but the beaver is happy.
And then the lady who's turning the lady van who's, into a thing.
A lady who has a conversion van for like that van life
you
thing.
You have told this story before on this show. People are
have
bored.
I? Oh, I'm sorry. I probably have. God. But I watched those two things on TikTok.
Tick-tick.
I do get sucked in sometimes to other stuff.
I have not downloaded TikTok, but I'll watch them if somebody says on Twitter, this is a funny TikTok.
Yeah, they all make their way to Reddit eventually, too. Yeah. The good ones. That's called curation.
So Andy will review Spree for next week.
I love it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Do you guys love it, though?
Yes.
Oh, don't you?
John loves
you
it.
Ew, you said so.
John Lovitz.
Oh, yeah. Watched the Simpsons episode, Streetcar Named Marge, the other night.
Oh,
what a great
way. We've gone
back to just sort of cherry pick old Simpsons episodes to watch here and there.
What is it that one?
That's when she's in the Streetcar Named Desire.
Where they do the play?
Flanders. Yeah, they do it as a musical. John Lovitz is the director.
Is that where they have Flanders in the skin tight white t-shirt?
Yeah.
And they keep doing like the sexy
and
jokes.
And Homer's like he learns that, you know, there's more to Marge.
That's a good one.
It's a great one. It's one of my favorites. That's why we revisited it.
Oh, I love The Simpsons sometimes.
Yeah, he is.
All right. We'll be right back.
We'll be back.
Count Dracula sleeps in this coffin, but rises every night at sunset. Chick is right. This is awful silly stuff.
Come on, take it all out.
No! Pick up, Chick! Cover up! What's the matter? Cover up!
Wait a minute! The nation's top comics, Abbott and Costello. Petrified, but hilariously. Plus the dangerous and terrifying Wolfman, played by Lon Chaney. Plus that fiend out of a nightmare, the vampire Batman, Count Dracula, played by Bela Lugosi. Plus the most dreaded creature of them all, the Frankenstein monster, played by Glenn Strange. Plus a couple of luscious but designing females in the spookiest laugh fest on record.
I gotta say, more shivers than you can shake a...
More scares than you can shake a shiver.
Oh, yeah, more scares than you can shake a shiver at in the
trailer. Shake a shiver at.
Shake a shiver at.
Shake a shamrock also, shiver shake.
But it also said more scare-y, which I don't understand.
Scarooey.
Scarooey?
Oh,
screwball.
Andy, I was right there with you. I didn't get it.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Oh, 40s humor—it's just so above our heads.
It's really basically the scary movie franchise of 40s and early 50s.
You know, I want to make a real quick point that we watched Showgirls last week, and I mentioned I was like, this movie is of another era. This is the era
acting.
I meant. The style of the performances would fit right into these. Like this and Africa Screams and stuff like that. Just so blatantly over the top, but beautifully executed.
Like Mr. McDougal. It's just, and you better get my crates, you idiot. And I'm like, this guy just comes out of the gate pissed at everybody. He would be perfect in Showgirls.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many little moments like that.
Well, it reminded me of Showgirls too, because everybody's just so mean to poor Costello. For no reason.
He's a big smart ass too, though. Yeah.
I get it, but for no reason. They're just mean to him. I felt kind of bad. He seems so like harmless and adorable, even though he's kind of annoying. But they just make fun of his weight for out of the blue.
Yeah.
Strangers even.
Yeah, he's a little fat boy.
He's a little fat man. That's a common theme throughout all their movies.
Yeah.
40 standards of fat. 40 standards of fat is very low.
Oh, yeah. He wouldn't even be considered fat now. If you dressed him for today, he would look completely different, I think.
Well, and I will tell you this. Like, watching this again, this was a movie. This is a me and my dad movie, which was really nice to revisit this because I have not watched it probably since I was 13 or 14 years old. And it was really nice going back and kind of having those warm, gooey feelings. Thanks, Brandon, for that, by the way. But like going back and watching it now, like, and I mean this genuinely, it seems like Kevin James has taken a lot of Lou Costello. Like, it's almost like he's watched him. Like, you can kind of see a very direct parallel there.
When you slow down for a second, I bet you could hear our dog like mussing and fussing with something on the floor.
Mussing her paws. And fussing.
She's just like, sorry, Kelly, about that.
Can I ask you something, Kelly? Mm-hmm. Like, did you enjoy this movie as a 13 or 14 year old?
Oh, yes. I love these kind of movies.
I think it's the humor is just so specific that I don't see it playing to certain people.
Wait, was this the first time you've seen it too, Andy?
No, like this past October, I watched a lot of these.
Yeah.
For the 31 Days of Halloween. And I enjoyed them, but like, I think I kind of grew up with this stuff in a certain way. Like, you know, stuff that's running on cable. And I think our references are just a lot different than like younger people.
I can tell you, like, to
a younger crowd.
Yeah. When I was real little, I saw this for the first time, probably when I was 5 or 6 years old I remember like a weekend matinee, like they would show as either counter programming for some sports or something, but regardless, it was like, this is the Saturday or Sunday morning movie or whatever. Mm. And it felt like all the other, it felt right in place with the cartoons and stuff.
Agreed. Yeah, no, it did. Well, and especially because the '80s, there's this sort of 50s, humor still, like, you found it in a lot of things, but I grew up watching these. Like I said, these are my dad's favorite movies were Abbott and Costello movies and like Universal Monster movies. And so all of these in particular were like, it was like just the perfect mix for him. And we watched them together and I definitely had a different sense of humor than, I'm not trying to say I was better or worse or weird. Kids didn't always get the things that I found funny. So like,
I feel like you had a delayed childhood a little bit. So you were kind of, your tastes were a little bit older than typical kids.
I was,
it's not like other
sophisticated
girls.
Yeah. He's different, but it's just interesting to see this type of humor in the context of, you know, our times.
Yes.
I think, like you love it up to a certain point. And then you're 10 or 11, 12, and then you're like, I'm too old for this now. And then, like, after you're 30, then you get it again. I don't know. I'm just making this up. This is the first time I've seen it. I could totally get why a kid would love it. Kid.
And it feels, again, that's a great way of describing it, because I thought this was, like, just the greatest thing as a kid. And then when I was a teenager, I'm like, I want to watch some Adam Sandler movies. This isn't funny anymore. And now watching it with you, there are many times I was just cracking up at stuff that doesn't even feel like it's dated. In particular, like when they meet Dracula and Wilbur, he's just kind of like nuzzles into him at one point.
He does, because he's so scared. He like, what does he like, hug him?
It's when he actually is being affectionate to him because he's talking about his brains. And and he's getting positive, you know, attention, and just the way he kind of he's just a great character.
Well, you said, it's very cartoony the way he's when he like doesn't know what to say. He's like, pop, 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 pop.
Well, the reason it's cartoony is because the cartoons were spoofing this, like Scooby Doo is spoofing this.
I didn't get that, but like watching the cartoons now, like, I could see the context, of where it came from, but like, curtain cartoons, they're not like this, you know,
because they're spoofing other things, like and you know, it's so funny to watch some shows like The Amazing World of Gumball is a good example, because they dig deep for references on there that are way over the kids' heads. And that 20 years from now, it might be from some indie movie that came out, you know, in the 90s or something. And some kid in 2050 is going to dig up this movie and be like, this is really cartoonish. And it'll end up being like Spring Breakers or something.
Right.
I can give you a basic synopsis.
Give it.
So Wilbur and Chick, they work at a baggage,
like a UPS type thing,
package place. Yeah,
they deliver shit.
Yeah, and so they work there, and some crates are there, and it's time for them to deliver them to where they need to go. And meanwhile, they've received a phone call from London, and it takes a while to get a phone call connected from the States to London, apparently back in 1940 something something. Which, if you think about it, it's amazing back then that they could do it. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, it's all just cables in the ocean, right?
It's amazing to me that any of this existed at all. Sometimes I don't believe reality is real and this is all a simulation. Please continue.
I don't disagree with you, Kelly, because when I think about, somebody was like, okay, well, we want to be able to communicate, so let's just lay some cables down the ocean the whole fucking way. That's crazy, right? I'm not making this up. That's real.
If you Google how a TV works,
I know that
is such a, it's such a rabbit hole.
And you're like, who, how did, what?
Yes. Like when I'm watching the Great British Baking Show, which I've been doing a bit lately, and they're like, well, then you got to put the butter here, and then you got to fold, do the book folds, and then you got to get the lamination, because then you do the thing, and then I'm like, how did anybody come up with how to make pastry? I don't get it.
Somebody was like, this wheat's too hard. Smash it.
Smash it.
And then it progressively just started from that, where somebody got angry at chewing, as humans often do.
You're like, make it hot. It'll be softer. Yeah. Oh, it's very soft.
So it melted the mouth.
I noticed when wife burn, wife softer. Tastes better, too. Because cavemen and fire, you know?
They eat their wives. Okay. But anyway, the phone call from London to the US has really nothing to do with anything. It was just something that stuck in my brain.
Yeah.
So
it takes time to reach them too. Extra time.
Right. Larry Talbot.
Black silk shirt.
Oh my gosh. And his extremely pleated pants.
Yeah.
To the extreme.
They all have fupas. Pants. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're almost like optical illusions. You're like, how do they like bell out that much and then taper off that much at the bottom? How do they do it?
And did you notice
like
too that
camera pants?
Chick has real like womanly hips.
Oh yeah. And those pants go all, they're like mom. He wears pants like
they were up to his
Winslet from a movie about the 50s. You know what I mean? Like
his bananas.
He's got a shape on him.
So Larry Talbot calls and he's like, listen, don't open those crates. Don't let them have them. I'm going to be there. Bad things are going to happen.
They got Dracula and Frankenstein in them.
Yeah. And Wilbur's like, hey, you're calling from London. Oh my gosh, it's so fancy. And he's like, I'm trying to talk to you about like dangerous things. And he's like, what? Anyway, it doesn't matter. They do end up bringing the crates. Mr. McDougal from
almost immediately, as soon as he says, don't do it, they're like, let's do it.
Let's do it. Mr. McDougal comes in. He's like, I want my crates for my house of horrors, which is, I think, just a wax museum with props.
But he bought the real bodies of Dracula and Frankenstein.
Little did he know.
But they're also myths.
Correct.
I love how fast and loose this movie plays with the rules of reality and not reality. And it's just like they both do and don't exist simultaneously as real things and not real things. It's like Schrodinger's box. Yeah.
I'm going to sound real stupid, but I know I am already, but the plot doesn't really matter because you're watching it for, you know, Abbott Costello capering about.
Yeah.
But I was confused about the plot a little bit.
Well, here's
it's just the Monster Squad, really.
Yeah,
it is the Monster Squad.
Okay. Who sent the monsters in the first place?
So the lady is a doctor.
Uh-huh.
You think it's Dr. Wilbur's Lady. Girlfriend. You're like, okay. That chick's hot.
Sandra Mornay.
Yeah. She's a doctor.
Hornay.
And she's working with Dracula.
Okay, so they were in cahoots, right?
Yes.
They're in cahoots.
Okay.
And what they're trying to do is Dracula wants a more easily controlled Frankenstein.
This is literally the fucking the Monster Squad.
Yeah. I guess I was just confused about how Frankenstein and Dracula hooked up.
Well, that is not explained in this movie, and it does not matter. But what you need to know is
you
want to
know their meet cute is what Andy's asking. Well,
because I understood the part where he wanted to switch Frankenstein and Costello's brains,
right.
So Frankenstein would be more human-like. But I just didn't understand what Dracula's endgame was.
Have you ever heard the song that goes, "I need a lover that won't drive me crazy"? That's where Dracula's coming from.
He wants to cause mayhem using the Frankenstein monster. And also, I mean, there's all those movies that came before this where it's like Dracula meets the son of Frankenstein's mother and Frankenstein versus Dracula's cape and
Big Mama versus Frankenstein's house of ghosts.
There's a long history of
Matthew Lillard's Funtime Adventure,
Parks and Rec, and Frankenstein.
Yeah. No, I totally get it that the plot doesn't matter, and I still enjoyed the movie. But when you pick up the strings a little bit,
oh, don't
it
do that.
Falls apart. Yeah.
This movie's all strings, Andy.
This movie's all strings.
You can't even. You have to do it less with this than any movie we've ever done it with.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because nothing matters.
This is barely more than a Vincent Price Halloween special skit.
Yeah, it's like one of those paintings that you have to like put your nose against and then back away from to see what's there.
Kelly brings up skits a lot. It basically is a bunch of skits, strung together. Like he's like, Abbott and Costello, they're at the post office now. They're in the. Now they're doing this. Now they're doing that.
I know. It kind of serves the story, though.
But, think about it. So this is some small town in Florida.
Yeah.
How does Larry Talbot know this is going down from London?
Well, he's the Wolfman.
Oh.
Yeah, that's enough.
Done. Check.
But also.
Forget I asked. So then.
I feel like there's something you don't see.
But also, there's an insurance agent involved in this with McDougal.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm going to find out where the crates went.
She's like Sam Neill from In the Mouth of Madness.
She's I'm going to cozy up to the dumb fat one because he'll totally be like into me because I'm a beautiful woman and beautiful women never give him attention. So I'm going to go undercover.
Although based on all their movies, they always give him lots of attention because they're always trying to steal from him.
Yes. Yeah, it's a very it doesn't paint women in a very nice light.
So you've got Dr. Sandra, who's already using him for his brain.
That's the dark-haired one, right?
Yes. And now you've got who's the insurance agent. She's the
insurance agent.
What was she insuring?
The crates.
The crates.
The crates with Frankenstein and Dracula's bodies in them.
Insured for $20,000, which was a lot of money back then. And so she's going to go undercover and try to get Wilbur to tell her where the fuck if I know. Okay, so then they end up at a masquerade ball.
Yeah, that's right. She's going to try and get him to spill the beans about how they stole the crates because they think that he somehow magically stole these crates out from under their nose.
But she's like so undercover that she forgets to take all of the evidence out of her purse. So when she's caught,
I thought you were going to say she goes native, that movie. Was it Blow? What was the movie where Donnie Brasco, where somebody just starts? Oh, that one with Jason Patrick was good, where he just started doing all the cocaine.
So she starts doing
where he was deep cover.
So the ladies are getting ready for the masquerade ball, and Blondie and Brunetti are like eyeballing each other because
Brunetti.
They're both trying to get with Wilbur.
Detective Brunetti, can you get in my office right now?
Give me your bed.
Tell Detective Blondie I'm going to talk to her after I talk to you.
Next week on a very special Blondie and Brunetti.
So they're getting ready together.
And Lorraine Bracco.
Yeah.
Side-eyeing each other.
I love that, Kelly. I'm sorry, Amy, but that was just really cute.
Blondie is a terrible undercover investigator because she doesn't even The minute the other chick leaves the room, she's like, how long are you going to be? Oh, a couple minutes. She's like, oh, I could do whatever I want for a couple minutes and not look around and listen or pay attention to anything.
She is bad at her job.
I'll leave my purse with all the evidence of who I am in it.
Everyone's bad at their job in this.
I'm going to go in here and read the book, The Secrets of Life and Death by Dr. Victor Frankenstein.
Well,
and get caught.
In the terms of that time, she's a dumb broad.
Oh, yeah.
She is a dumb broad.
Everyone in this movie is a dumb broad.
But she had nice gams, though.
She did. She had a nice everything head to toe. I love the hairstyles
in this.
It's gamtastic.
Dr. Mornay wasn't, Sandra wasn't too dumb, but
no,
she gambled too much on the competence of monsters.
She thought her will was stronger than Dracula's.
Do you feel like maybe she was under his, not to go deep on Abbott and Costello,
I would not
Frankenstein.
Even finish the sentence.
Yeah, probably not a good idea, but I'm going to. Was she under like his spell in the way Renfield was maybe from the beginning and he just doubled down later when he bit her?
I would say no.
You think she was really behind all this?
I would say yes.
She
I want a prequel. It explains how this
it's
came about.
It's called fan fiction, Freddie. You can write your own.
I'm going to write Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein fanfic.
You're starting to parse it, Freddie. It's just not like you.
Yeah.
It's not that it's I'm not picking at it in a negative way, though, where it ruins the movie or anything. I just want some great filmmaker to come along and say, this is a story that needs to be told.
Okay.
The lead up to her meeting Dracula and subsequently them saying, let's get Frankenstein fixed up.
Can we have Marcus Nispel do it in the style of a Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Platinum Dooms?
Everyone wear dusters.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
So.
And you'll find out that she's from a long line of like, what'll happen is in the other movie, like Bud and Lou will find out that they're part of a long line of slayers.
Oh, you can call them Bud and Lou now? Are you guys like?
Bud and Lou. Mitch
that's
and.
Who they are, Bud and Lou.
Mitch and Hedberg.
Okay, so then here's a question. They have like an assistant working with them at the castle on the island and somewhere in Florida.
Johnny Goodlooks.
Now, he doesn't seem to know that he's working for Dracula, an evil scientist.
He's a temp.
And a Frankenstein.
Workforce sent him.
Okay.
Temping ain't easy.
Temping ain't easy. I wasn't sure that was clear until later, and
how
I was like, wait a minute,
castles?
He doesn't know. And I'm pretty sure there were no castles in Florida. I grew up there, but I did not go throughout the entire state.
As weird as Florida is, there are at least
there
700 castles there.
And castles.
Yeah. Oh, well, you're right, because it is, like, St. Augustine was one of the oldest.
Yeah.
Is the oldest colony.
Amy, you got to issue a public apology now.
God damn it.
To the state of Florida and the Castle Association.
There's castles in Ohio.
Oh, there are castles. Never mind. Yeah.
My castles.
Oh, my God, Andy.
Snow castles.
Love me some white castles.
Yeah. Okay, there's a few castles. Some of them might be mini golf places,
corrected?
But there are some castles.
Amy's eating her words right now.
Yeah. Ooh, what'd you put on them?
Sriracha.
Spicy word.
Spicy.
Mm-hmm. Chipotle mayo. So.
One more question.
Yeah.
Who was throwing this masquerade ball?
Yeah.
Oh, Stanley Kubrick.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense now. I get it now.
Oh, it was a sex thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it just something that just they were just attending for no reason?
How about later when Fleetle Snoot grabs what's his chubby cheeks by the seat of his pants, and I'm pretty sure a couple fingers went inside.
Yeah,
you're talking about Chick.
When Chick,
aka Bud Abbott,
grabs little Lou
to throw him into another room
by his little Lou hole,
he does grab a full hand of
anus. Oh, asshole.
Yeah.
He's like, those aren't pillows.
His whole fist gets sucked up there.
Yeah.
I mean, at that time, you couldn't know if it was ass or pleats. There were so many.
That's true.
So much. Mm-hmm. The thing, it was the design.
He grabbed him by the pleats.
To just erase the fact that men had crotches.
Yeah. Desex them.
It's very strange. It's so poofy and pleated.
I can get lost in a
pants, baby. It's...
Yeah, I'm afraid a gust of wind would just take them up and fly them away.
Yeah. Like that picture we saw on Reddit that said never trust a fart, and it was a lady standing on one of those air grates wearing like, what were those called? Zuba dooms.
So the air was puffing out her pants. Yeah.
It looked like she had giant legs and a giant ass.
It's like that episode of The Flying Nun. I can't even do this. No one, The Flying Nun is a reference.
No, no,
Sally Fields.
We get it.
Well, but there are listeners that aren't. Google The Flying Nun. Pause the show, Google The Flying Nun, and then prepare to laugh at Kelly's
first
reference.
Of all, the show is ridiculous. Things were so, you could say anything and pitch a show in the 60s and 50s, and they would just be like, all right.
Yeah. We're like, Sound of Music did really well. Plus, people love when people fly. They love Gidget.
And Gidget. Let's make Gidget a nun who flies because he's got a big hat. She's so tiny that the wind carries her. I don't know.
Yeah, you nailed it, I think, if I remember right.
You take Bud Abbott in his pants, and like he's like a villain, and he flies with pants, and she flies with her hat, and they battle it out like Magneto.
Or like
Storm.
Oh, my.
Now there's a crossover comic book
form. That felt real to me.
You know, I felt really bad for Wilbur in this, because every time the monster was there, Chick is away. Doesn't see. Yeah,
it's the big bird snuffleupagus syndrome.
It starts to get to you after a while because you feel so bad for the character. One of the reasons why I can't watch Meet the Parents, because I feel like it's just not fair.
Well, I understand that feeling. There is a level of that in Meet the Parents for sure.
Yeah.
What do you think that Chick is Wilbur's Tyler Durden? Do you think they're just one person?
Oh, shit.
Holy cow.
They appear to live together.
Yeah.
In like a little place and share a bathroom.
Oh, if you watch closely, there's one toothbrush.
Oh, my God.
They knew. They planted it. They wanted to reward the viewer when they cracked the code.
So ahead of their time. Huh?
Yeah. The break actually comes really early in the movie when like a suitcase falls on Chick's head. And his skull is fractured. That's when, if you watch closely.
Oh, that's when they're, okay.
All of a sudden, there's
you mean Wilbur.
Lou.
All those Easter eggs.
No. Wilbur is the Tyler Durden, right?
No, he's saying Chick is the Tyler Durden.
Oh, you say Chick is. See, I was thinking reverses.
Okay, so
the guy who's seeing monsters is clearly the split personality, right? Unless Chick is another one of the hallucinations with the monsters also being hallucinations.
Yeah.
If you play Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh, it makes sense. It's hallucinations.
Oh, it goes deeper.
Andy put together the, and since this was down low directed by Stanley Kubrick, you know, there's a lot of layers of things like that in here.
That's right. It's like room 237 for Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I don't remember how this ends.
It just ends.
Yeah, they get in the boat and they set the fire on the dock to trap Frankenstein.
Oh yeah.
And Bud and Lou are in the boat, and the Invisible Man.
That's right.
Vincent Price is.
Vincent Price.
Yeah.
That made me sad when Frankenstein burned up. He didn't do anything wrong. Exactly. He's just being like shipped about everywhere, and people are using him for their own.
He didn't ask to be born.
It's not the first time he's been burned up either.
Yeah. Well, I also feel like that's the thing with this. Like, I feel like I wonder if they filmed this in chronological order because it felt so rushed. They're like, look, just have him, just have him run towards the fire. Well, but Frankenstein wouldn't do that. He'd run away from the fire. Just have him run towards it. It doesn't matter.
You think he was just tired of life? Like, I'm tired of being used by people.
It was his suicide.
Yeah. I'm ending it.
Well, Dr. Sandra says to Wilbur, like, if we do this, we put your brain in Frankenstein, you're going to live forever. So Frankenstein's probably fine. Frankenstein's monster. Nerds.
No, I call him Frankenstein now.
Okay.
And I'll tell
What's
you
his
why.
His last name, because it's Frankenstein.
His last name is Frankenstein. His dad's name is Frankenstein.
That's what I meant this whole time. All right,
Kelly is with me on this. I see.
I'm with you on this.
Andy, are you on board? The SS board. Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm. I truly
he is Frankenstein's is there monster, room? Comma Frankenstein. That's his name.
Yeah.
First name Frankenstein's, last name, second name monster, second name. I'm
middle name
British. All of a
same
sudden,
same as the first.
What's his name? Frankenstein's monster.
His confirmation name is still just Peter, though. Mm-hmm. How boring is that?
Because
he's a Catholic.
They show you, you got your regular Wolfman transformation that you're already used to from the Wolfman movies.
You're like, oh, yeah, I remember this.
I don't know that I've seen the Dracula with Bela Lugosi. Have I?
Yeah, haven't you?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I loved the animations of him turning into a bat. Was that in the original Dracula movies?
Not like that.
Oh, okay. Because I thought this was really cool.
Yeah. Well, the effects in this are, in both cases, actually the lap dissolve is polished compared to Wolfman.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Like, they did a really good job with that part.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because I was struck at how well made these movies are.
Well,
The sets are so awesome. Yeah. And the cinematography, especially in the scenes where they're like in the catacombs or whatever, like the black and white with the candles. Like, yeah. It's just, these are all really well-made movies.
That is, you're right. We actually talked about that. But this is part of what I'm always saying about Universal versus Hammer is that their sets always look epic to me. Like that was one of my big problems.
It doesn't look like Hammer. A set.
Well, it's not in this. That's a real castle.
Is it?
Yeah, in California.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Is it Hearst Castle?
No. Hold on a second. I'll find out for you.
Well, regardless, not just the castle, but the outdoor sets, like the swamp thing, the swamp sets.
Yeah,
those were like all everything was just so well done in this.
Universal always had this way of making everything look really big and epic, and even when it looks a little artificial, it still looks big. Like, you're like, that's what I want. I want it to look big.
Even when it's artificial. It's the part that really got me.
Can you make it look big?
Benedict Castle?
Benedict Cumberbatch?
Benedict Cumbercastle.
It's in Riverside, California, U.S. of A. But then, you know, a lot of the interiors were sets and stuff, but...
In TV,
I loved the lighting and the way that the lights would glint off the like damp bricks and stones.
Yeah. The shadows are great where they light from the bottom to make, you know, whenever Frankenstein comes in, like having that, that German expressionism, I guess, where they lit from the bottom to make you look real imposing. So you cast a shadow that's like 30 feet tall.
Yeah,
and stuff like that. I love that manipulation.
Yeah. I think a mossy swamp, is such an excellent setting.
A mossy swamp
for creature features, horror movies
with the fog and everything. Mm-hmm.
Because like, what's in like swamps are just full of monsters, like legitimate actual monsters called alligators and snakes.
And I also like. Just like the practical movie stuff, I was like really charmed by, like when Costello's on top of the crates.
Yeah. Yes, I was wondering how they did that.
Great, like, and they're swaying back and forth. And like, how did he do that?
How did they do that
stuff? I think they just did it. Like, I think they rigged the crate with like a counterweight, and I think that he went up there and did that stuff.
Yeah, but like he just seemed so secure up there that it looked like he had magic.
It did. He looked up, but it was like, how did he do that?
Yeah, and the scene where Dracula's coffin keeps opening up and the candles...
And the candle slides down.
Oh, there's a string, you can see it.
Oh, I didn't
see it. Sorry to spoil that one.
Yeah. I was about to say that, Andy, because I thought that was cool too.
Yeah,
I was just impressed by like just practical effects. I love so much.
They're fun.
It just seems so much more real.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, what they did with the candle was he opens the casket so it causes the candle to slide, but what keeps it from falling off is, like, a little string.
Okay.
But, like, even when it fails, that makes it more charming, I think, when you can spot that stuff.
I think what really shocked me about is seeing that scene so soon after Freddy dropped an entire full mug of coffee on the floor just by trying to set it on a table next
without
to
looking.
Him.
Always look.
And in this movie, they have something on fire, two pieces, it's moving down, and everything's fine, and Freddy can't set coffee down.
Well, also, my whole morning...
Like the 44 takes where he burnt himself trying to get that right.
Okay, that's a good point.
I told Amy at one point, I said, I would love to see some outtakes from this if I can find them, but I don't know if they exist or not. I haven't tried very hard. Another weird thing is I know I've owned this movie before, but you know, I bought it again because I love this movie, but I feel like the version I had before had all kinds of extras with it, like in a commentary by David Scull and all that. And this version is just the movie.
I had a very bare bones VHS copy of this. It was in a purple case.
That's groovy.
So
I
there's
love a purple
a,
case.
There are other. So you have Abbott and Costello. What are the other ones they did like this?
Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy. Abbott and Costello Meet Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Only one.
Abbott and Costello Meet the Invisible Man, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is definitely the best of them.
It is the best of them.
Africa
for sure.
Screams is up there with this one.
Africa Screams to me is funnier, actually. I think the jokes land more in that one. I've almost picked that one before, too. And it's less racist than you think it would be.
Yeah. I mean, there's a baseline of racism happening.
Say what?
I said there is a baseline. It's kind of
there is a baseline. No,
Disney's Jungle Cruise would be like that.
It's America.
We can't do it.
There's a baseline of racism running through it.
You wouldn't make it now.
But the jokes weren't played against that, really, for the most part. So it is Africa Screams is actually, I think, maybe their best movie. It's really funny.
Yeah. And you can watch that for free right now, I think, a lot of places.
Yeah,
which we
the
should.
Jokes genuinely land.
Well, I'll tell you, Brandon, this was a fun little movie to watch on my birthday.
This was great week.
Oh, Hold That Ghost. I forgot about that one.
Oh, yeah, Hold That Ghost. That's a fun one.
That is a good one.
How can you hold a ghost?
You know, like you're like, hold that cab.
Such as Mango, Andy. Remember that from Saturday Night Live? And he'd be like,
you can't hold a rainbow in your mouth.
Yeah, it's just something like that. And then he'd be like, such as Mango.
True dad.
True dad.
Do we have anything else to say about this silly fun time?
No,
just really glad that this got to finally happen for a staff picks episode. And it's great because it's something that several of us have enjoyed. And then someone else chose it for us. Yeah. I feel like that is a really nice way to go about this one.
It feels life affirming.
Mm-hmm. It does. Thank you, Brandon.
This fits with Brandon too because he's an old soul.
He is, yes.
Yeah. We're all just a bunch of old men sitting in our easy chairs watching good television.
We are in our 40s, so we are old, but this is even older than us.
Oh, I feel younger than I've ever felt.
Oh my gosh. Andy reminded me, and Andy had to go through this pain, that we both have to renew our driver's licenses this year. And that meant Andy had to do it with his Rachel from Friends hair because he hasn't had a haircut in a year. Yeah. I haven't had a haircut in a year, and I'm going to have to go. It's not as bad because I'm a woman, and plus I have just stick straight hair.
Lady hair.
Could you imagine if Freddie had to get his driver's license renewed and for 4 years? The world had to see all of them curls.
When I get my driver's license renewed, maybe I'll just comb everything forward, comb my beard and mustache together over my mouth.
Do it.
I think you should just keep it going.
I'll just go cousin it.
We might.
Keep it going, full steam.
Really, at this point, it's my call when he gets a haircut, right? Because you don't care.
Oh, I don't care, yeah. So it's basically up to Amy.
It's whoopah.
You're the Kaiser of those locks. Yeah.
It's for the sex appeal, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm a toy.
Mm-hmm. Is this your kink, Amy? You're a hair denier.
Freddie and I have been together for 7,000 years,
mm-hmm.
and he's never had his hair this long ever.
Mm-hmm. I did before I knew you.
Yeah, but I didn't know you then.
But, like,
this is a joy.
I went.
Every day is a joy.
You know what the funny thing is? I got, like, a military-style cut for the play we did.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Mm-hmm.
And then it just stayed that way.
You never had it much longer
short
than that.
After that, yeah.
Now we're putting it up in ponytails, you guys.
Yeah.
I know.
Cool. It's the end of the show, so this is when we say hi to our Beelzebubs.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
We dance.
This is a list of people,
Sprockets,
who are great.
Yeah,
Elise.
I'll see you in a second in the room you're sitting in next to me, baby.
Small world.
Weird. Ernest.
Love you, Ernie.
Love you, buddy.
Amanda hugs.
Amanda sent us a really, really nice message on
the
Discord.
Thanks to you and loves.
I missed our meetup. Amy and I took a couple vacation days to celebrate our birthday and to really kind of lay low. So even though it was 1 week away from you guys on our Zoom meetup, I still missed you.
Oh,
it was really,
I like how you,
nice.
When you said lay low, it seems like you're running from the fuzz or
we
something.
Are. Running from the police.
So. Totally are.
Lay low.
Mark Watts.
Hey, buddy.
Blake Heath.
Yo, what up? Mark has offered to play some Destiny 2 with us as well, which is a new thing that Amy and I just started playing.
Shot a bunch of aliens things on Mars. That's what we were doing?
We were on Mars shooting aliens. Idea. Yeah, you're right. You did good. And they had, some of them had wizardry.
Mm-hmm. And
and magic.
Wizarding, the wizarding world of Mars.
Alien wizards, huh?
Yeah, it's really fun.
Bill Varner.
Hello, Bill.
Tree and Alex McNulty.
Hi, guys.
Jeffel.
Jeff, your last name starts with an L, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. Iona Goodwin.
It stands for love it.
Iona. A
great one.
Good day.
Brandon, we've already said so many things about you. What else is
thank
there?
Thank you. And hello to Emily
and
as
Emily.
Well.
Oh, Emily.
Her birthday
Emily
tomorrow.
Has a birthday tomorrow. Yeah. And Brandon has a birthday the 5th.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. Emily is in all ways truly my almost birthday twin.
Yes.
Because her husband's birthday falls closely after hers.
Yeah.
Hers is the day after mine. We're all Aquarii's.
Mm-hmm.
Aquarii's.
It's quite the clustering.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cosmic cluster.
Brandon, I again want to say thank you for the books. I've got some Star Trek books I'm going to read. Adam Ingram.
Howdy.
Bill Jandler.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Blaine Turner.
Hello. Good to see you.
Alyssa B.
Girl, what up?
Sound like you said Elizabeth, like with a
Alyssa
weird accent.
B. Monica.
Girl, what also up?
Brian.
Hey, you, man.
Carla.
Last
but
we
not
were
least.
We were playing
no, that's
Mario
not,
Kart.
It's not her.
Yeah.
That person's name was Carly with a K.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't playing Mario Kart. We were playing Totally Reliable Delivery Service.
I'm going to go.
All of that wrong.
So.
Oh, my God. How do I. Stand it.
We were playing Super Duper. It was Super Duper Pitfall on our, I think it was on our Atari Pitcher.
Oh my God.
Which is the new portable Atari that also pours water out of
I know.
When you're thirsty. And sometimes when you're not, it's a mess.
Oh, I think he diarrheaed out his brain.
Well, you gotta try and find it.
I'm not digging through the toilet.
I might be sick.
Okay.
He literally shit his brains out. That's where the phrase comes from.
Have we decided what next month's theme is?
We have had a discussion in text, but we didn't confirm it yet.
Do we want to talk about it right now and tell listeners, or we're, that'll be a surprise?
Maybe it should be a surprise just so we... Do you guys have a minute after the show to just talk about it?
Yeah, I got some ideas brewing too.
Sure. Okay.
Cool. So we are going to
listeners, it'll be a surprise. My little babies.
And we're going straight into the next theme?
Yes.
So that will start... First Sunday in February, mm-hmm. The theme that we haven't announced yet. So
correct.
Keep your ears peeled.
Peel your ears.
Peel them.
Keep your bananas peeled.
Keep thank you so much.
Clean them and peel them.
Bye.
Bye.
Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to bed when his old buddy Leatherface put on